Let me pray as we begin. One day, you're coming, Lord Jesus. It will be a glorious day. While we wait in eager expectation for that day, we pray that you would strengthen us with your word today by the power of your Spirit, that we would be equipped in our thinking, in our actions, to live lives worthy of the gospel. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I wonder if you ever worry or get anxious. Coronavirus is obviously causing a lot of anxiety. Maybe you feel vulnerable. Perhaps you're a little bit older or you've got a health condition and you think, if I get this, it's the end. Or maybe someone you love is vulnerable. You think about your parents or someone else and you're worried. Maybe because of the virus, your business is in trouble. Or your workplace. I've got lots of friends who work for British Airways and they're saying it's drastic. And even without coronavirus, we worry, don't we? Someone did a survey before this all happened and these were the top five worries people had. Getting old in general. Savings, financial future, number two. Number three, low energy levels. I don't think they were talking about their utility bills in life. Their diet, number four. And the fifth thing they worried about in this survey was finance, credit card debts. So we're people who worry. And we each have a sense that, in some way, worrying is a waste of time, but we still do it. So with Mark Twain, perhaps we can sympathise. He says, I'm an old man and have known a great many troubles, but most of them have never happened. But it is hard to stop worrying, isn't it? What do we do with worry? Well, in this passage, which I've chosen specially for today, we've got two wonderful and vital verses which, with Jesus, help us to fight anxiety and worry. They're right in the middle there, verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's a wonderful promise. And we're going to look in some depth at that today. But also look at the whole passage. Because it's not just anxiety that Paul deals with. Being a citizen of heaven, which is how he describes us in Philippians, we have to fight all sorts of negative things. And this passage helps us. So, citizens of heaven can rejoice in thinking like Jesus and see God replace anxiety with peace in Jesus. First of all, citizens of heaven. Citizens of heaven. Are you someone who trusts in Jesus? Well then, you are a citizen of heaven. It's as if Jesus gives us a passport for a country we're not yet in. So when you go on holiday, remember that, going on holiday? When you go on holiday, you have your passport and maybe you're sitting with your feet up on a beach and your passport's in your rucksack. And it's there saying, I'm a citizen of the United Kingdom, even though I'm in Spain or somewhere. I'm a foreigner, a stranger here, but back I've got a homeland. And Jesus has given us a passport and says, now you've got a new homeland. It's heaven. And you're a citizen there and you're a foreigner and a stranger here. And while we go about our lives, we're not putting our feet up on the beach here, but while we go about our lives, there's passports in our pocket, and we know that. We've got this great future to come, where one day we'll be. This comes from verse 20 in chapter 3, passage before this. Paul describes people who are against God, and then he says, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We already have this Saviour, the Lord Jesus, as we trust in him, but we're waiting for him to return and bring us to himself. He says, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body on that glorious day. Now, how come? How come we're citizens of heaven? Well, chapter 3, verse 9, Paul writes about Jesus. I want to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. You see, without Jesus, or before Jesus, the only way to God was by keeping the law, the Old Testament law, and doing everything God wanted, getting it all right. But everyone who's ever tried that has found that we can't. We get so far, but then we fail. And then we're subject to the judgment that God says will come because of the law. But with Jesus, so that's the righteousness of my own that comes from the law. Doesn't work. But with Jesus, there is another kind of righteousness. Being right with God, because he can give us righteousness. His righteousness, because Jesus has died on the cross in our place. So what Jesus has paid for can be ours. So we can have, through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. So we can be right with God because of Jesus, says Paul in the chapter 4, the one we're looking at. So we're citizens of heaven. And with that come benefits. It's great being a citizen of heaven. Your names are written in the book of life because of Jesus. We're told, chapter 3, verse 12, he's grasped hold of you. And when it comes to the day of judgment, he will say, that one's mine. That one is saved. That's what it means to have your name written in the book of life. We're also told another benefit of being a citizen of heaven. Jesus is coming back and we wait for his return. It's exciting. It's a fact to trust, something to look forward to. And meanwhile, God the Holy Spirit is with us in our lives. Another benefit of being a citizen of heaven. And there's more. He hears and answers prayer. We're promised this lots of places in the Bible. Access to God is possible. And when we pray, God takes our prayers and our longings and our desires and performs his perfect will in conjunction with what we pray. It's amazing. A benefit of being a citizen of heaven. And God is good. And God changes us. A wonderful thing to know him as our Heavenly Father. So when we're a citizen of heaven, we don't just sit back. But as we wait with eager expectation, with the Holy Spirit with us, our lives are being changed by God. So those are four amazing things of being a citizen of heaven. And they're all in this passage that's before us now. Philippians 4:2-9. Citizens of heaven, therefore, can rejoice in thinking like Jesus. We're going to take a closer look at how that works out with those four aspects in this passage. So we can rejoice in thinking like Jesus, having our minds changed to be more like his. Because we trust Jesus, we're citizens of heaven. And so we begin to, and with God's help, change the way we think. And that changes the way we live. That means our lives are shaped by God in all sorts of positive ways, opposed to all the negativity around us. And it's not just the power of positive thinking that's going on. This is God at work. It's a bit like a heart transplant. Before you have a heart transplant, if you need one, then life is really tough. You can't hardly walk anywhere. And your life is in danger because your heart might fail. Then you go and have an operation, you have a new heart put in, and suddenly you've got a new lease of life. You can walk again. Maybe you can even run. And you can go to work again, and all these things. And with Jesus, we have a heart transplant. The world is changed, and we are changed. And we can have our lives changed by God. And it starts with our thinking. This has been a big theme throughout the book of Philippians. We've got to this passage. We're taking it on its own, but it's there all the way through. So if you've read the book before, you know that back in chapter 2, there's another wonderful passage about having the same mindset as Jesus. And Jesus' mindset is described. It's one of great humility as he leaves heaven, comes down to earth, becomes a human, dies on the cross, and then is exalted to the highest place and given the name above every name. And so that mindset is to be ours, thinking like Jesus. And this passage carries it on. So all these things that we're going to see in this passage are things to think like. They're copying Jesus' way of thinking, and that works out in our actions. So what about, there's the hot transplant. What about having our names written in the book of life? Verse 2 and 3. That's where this comes up. And it means that we can be, we can rejoice because we're united. And where we can work at being united with each other. So Paul writes, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche, two women in the church, to be of the same mind in the Lord. The mind he was talking about throughout the letter. Yes, I ask you, my true companion, someone else he's talking to, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. So because our names are in the book of life, these people in particular, they should be not arguing with each other, but ending arguments and having a mindset that is united and works at unity. So let's rejoice. And as we work out our faith together, fight disagreement and work at unity. Maybe we can't wait till Jesus' return. Well, we have got to wait, but meanwhile, let's rejoice. Verses 4 and 5, we can be rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. He's coming. He's coming back. It won't be long. And while we wait, he's near in the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So let's rejoice in that. Be people who live our lives rejoicing and who treat other people well with gentleness and respect. Do we have to wait for his return? Let's be rejoicing people. Does God answer prayer? Yes, he does. It's another benefit of being a citizen of heaven. Rejoice and be praying people. Verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So because we're citizens of heaven with Jesus, we can turn to him with all our problems and trust him for all our solutions and rejoice and have this way of thinking that's like Jesus that does that and receives from God this peace. We'll think more about that in a minute. Is God good and is he changing us? Yes! Another aspect of being a citizen of heaven. Rejoice, rejoice, and let's set our minds on Jesus' way of thinking. Verse 8 and 9. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace, the one who gives us that peace without understanding, which transcends understanding, the God of peace will be with you. These are wonderful ways of thinking that we're encouraged. We encourage to rejoice in thinking like Jesus and to let that take over the way we live our lives. And in particular, let's see God replace anxiety with peace in Jesus. Here there's something to stop, something to do, and something to receive. Something to stop. Citizens of heaven can rejoice in thinking like Jesus and see God replace anxiety with peace in Jesus. So, stop worrying. Stop worrying. Have a look at verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. There is a kind of anxiety that comes through depression, and it's a clinical thing. And that kind of thing needs professional medical help. So he's not talking about that. He's saying, he would say, no, go to the doctor and do the right thing with that. But there's another kind of anxiety which is worrying. It wakes us up at 3 o'clock in the morning because there's something on our mind that we can't get rid of. And we sort of nag at it, don't we? We pick at it and let it bother us. Corrie ten Boom, was someone who you'd think would have many worries. She was a concentration camp survivor, Christian, from Second World War. And she says, said, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, it empties today of its strength." Yeah, do not be anxious about anything. We're worrying, we put energy into things that we can't do anything about at that time, don't we? So when we wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, we think about, maybe it's an event that's coming up or something that we think someone's going to say to us, and we think about it, and we think through all the different avenues it could go down. Maybe if I said this, that would happen. Maybe if they said that, the other would happen. And then we feel, we think of the negative outcomes and feel all the emotion, don't we? Oh, no, I feel like this. And we get very tense because of it. And the Philippians could have done this. They had lots to worry about. Paul was in prison, their beloved Paul. Euodia and Syntyche, who long had been friends, were now arguing with each other. And they were facing opposition from people because they wanted to share the good news of Jesus. So there were things they could worry about. And yet Paul says to them, do not be anxious. And there are things we can worry about. That list of the top things people worry about, here are the next five, so numbers 6 to 10. And in each case, just have a think. Kind of worrying about it change anything? So number 6 thing people are worried about, job security. Can worrying about that change it? Doesn't, does it? Wrinkles or aging appearance, number 7. Probably get more if you worry about it, because you'll be furrowing your brow. Worried about your physique. Yeah, we can worry away. It ain't going to change by worrying, is it? Paying the rent or mortgage, sadly, again. That is a worrying thing. But if you start worrying about it, it doesn't make the slightest bit of difference. Number 10, I seem to be generally unhappy. You can make that worse by worrying. So it's obvious, isn't it, when you stop and think about it? But it's hard for us, isn't it? We do worry. Here's what Jesus says. Luke 12:25 is on the sheets there. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? He goes on. But seek his kingdom, God's kingdom, Jesus' kingdom. And these things, the things we worry about, will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. You're citizens of heaven, says Jesus. And so you don't need to worry about all the other things. And God is in control. So there's something to stop, and that's worrying. But there's also something to do, and that is give it to God gratefully. Give it to God gratefully. Have a look again at verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Take it to God. Think about what Jesus did at Easter as he died on the cross. You remember the accounts? It tells us that the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Well, that was a sign saying that something had changed. It used to be that the curtain was there in the temple saying no entry and people couldn't go in to meet God into the holy place. And then the curtain in the temple was torn in two as Jesus died, saying that instead of no entry, now it's access all areas. And we can have access to God. The door is open. We've got this passport, citizen of heaven. So we can talk to God in a way we could never before. And know that we're heard. And so there are four things in which four ways to talk to God here. And three of them are about asking. And one is about responding. So we've got prayer, verse 6, petition, thanksgiving, and presenting requests to God. So the three that are about asking, that's prayer, petition, and requests, say, ask God for stuff. And it's not saying anywhere it's selfish to do that. It's not saying anywhere don't do it but only talk about other people. No. Ask God for stuff about yourself. Talk to him about what you're worried about. Trust in his goodness. Prayer, by the way, isn't silence. Some people think praying is being very quiet. It's obviously not. You're presenting your requests to God. We need to talk to him. And neither is it mumbo-jumbo, so sort of using words in a different language or an old-fashioned language. No, we don't have to. We can use our own genuine words and present them to God. There are prayers in the Bible that can help. Psalms that give us ways of expressing how we're feeling. Asking God for help for us and for other people. So there are three asking words. And there's one word which is about thanking and being grateful and responding. We go to God knowing we're citizens of heaven, knowing that Jesus loves us and has given himself for us. And so we rejoice and we say, thank you, Jesus, as we pray. How about some examples of prayer? Well, let's imagine that Esmeralda is waiting for the results from a coronavirus test to come in, or maybe a breast cancer test or something else. She might pray this. Heavenly Father, I'm really worried about the tests and what might be wrong with me. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that Jesus has grasped hold of me, Philippians 3 verse 12, whatever happens. Please help me to cope with whatever's coming and to keep trusting you. Amen. Simple. No mumbo jumbo, just her words. Or maybe Mickey. Maybe Mickey's revising for exams at school. Heavenly Father, I don't really know if I'm going to get all this revision done in the next few weeks. And even then, I might make a bodge in the exams. And that's if they even happen. Please help me not to worry. Thank you that you'll love me whenever I take them and whatever the results. Please help me to get results so that I can do what you want in my life. I'd really like to be a sound engineer, but whatever you want. Amen. Or Clement, concerned about Paul in prison. Just going back a couple of millennia. Heavenly Father, thank you for Paul. Please keep him sure about you while he's in prison, so that he won't be ashamed, but with full courage will honour Christ, whether he lives or dies. Amen. And Clement was basically doing what Paul asked him to do in that prayer, if you have a look back to chapter 1. So it's our own words, expressing our feelings to God, laying those worries before him. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Let me give you a couple more sort of illustrations to help you think about that. So in the Old Testament, there's a great king called Hezekiah. And he is in Jerusalem when they're being besieged by the Assyrians. And they get this letter from the Assyrian army telling them what a load of wasters they are and how they're going to be flattened. And he receives a letter. This is 2 Kings 19. Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms and the earth. You've made heaven and earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to the words Sennacherib has sent to ridicule the living God. It is true, Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste these nations and their lands. They've thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone, fashioned by human hands. Now, Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, are God. It's a great prayer, isn't it? But I love the image of him spreading out the letter before the Lord. I don't know if it was on a little clay tablet or what it was, but it's a great visual thing, isn't it? And we with our worries, they're not quite as big as the Syrian armies, are they? Let's face it. However large they are, and they are big perhaps, we can kind of, in our minds, just lay them out before the Lord. So here they are, Lord. This is what I'm worried about. This is it. The Syrian army is big. They've flattened all the other people. But God, you're in control. So that's one picture, kind of laying something out before the Lord. And the other one is lobbing stuff at him. You may think, this is blasphemous. David, what are you saying? But there's this lovely verse in 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Cast all your anxieties on him, on the Lord Jesus, for he cares for you. And maybe that's another image you could use in thinking about your worry. Kind of write it on a tennis ball in your mind and chuck it God's way. And just dump it on God. Dump it on him. He's big enough and he loves you. And the curtain is torn, isn't it? So we have access all areas. So we can give our worries to God, gratefully. So, let's see God replace anxiety with peace in Jesus. Something to stop worrying, something to do, give it to God gratefully, and something to receive, and that is God's peace keeping you in Jesus. That's verse 7. And, he says, the peace of God, this is a result of laying things out, chucking them at God. Prayer, petition, thanksgiving, requests. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What kind of peace is it? Well, it's more than mindfulness, isn't it? Mindfulness is sort of emptying your mind, and it's based on Buddhist teaching, and it's also kind of free of moral choices and things as well. And so it may be helpful in some ways, but you don't want to end up as some of the mindful people are, with their lives in a bubble and not worried about anything. God wants us not to be in a bubble. He wants us to be in touch with what's going on, and to give it to Him, and to know His peace. It's the peace that He has in heaven that He wants to give to us. It's the peace of God. It's the relationship with Him because of Jesus that we can have. It's knowing that we're loved and forgiven and accepted and grasped and held and heard. It's that peace. And it's beyond our understanding. So there's something about it which is a sense that we can't even grasp. It's so great. What does the peace do? Have a look at the verse. Peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will. Brilliant, isn't it? Guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's back to our minds again. It's that thought that's going throughout Philippians. He's going to keep us in Jesus. That's the danger of worry, is that we worry so much that we don't think God can do it, and we leave Jesus to one side. Remember Jesus' parable of the sower, all those soils, and only the fourth one was fruitful. The third one, Jesus said, this is how that was the seed that grew up was choked by thorns, weeds and things. That's right. And Jesus said, it's this, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. The worries of this life choke us. So we need to cast them on God so that He can guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And He will. He's got a passport. We've got a passport that says, citizen of heaven. Where are we going? To be with Him one day. And He will guard us for that. That's His promise. What a great promise. So, citizens of heaven can rejoice in thinking like Jesus and see God replace anxiety with peace in Jesus. Stop worrying. Do give your worries to God gratefully and receive God's peace, keeping you in Jesus. Perhaps coronavirus is making you worried. Lay it out before Him. Throw it onto Him. Trust Jesus. Turn it to prayer. Perhaps you're not a citizen of heaven yet. Well, don't stand outside feeling jealous. The Lord Jesus calls you to come in. He's died. And when He died, the curtain in the temple was torn in two. It was a picture to say, access all areas. And He's waiting to receive you. Perhaps you are a citizen of heaven. Don't ever forget. Citizens of heaven can rejoice in thinking like Jesus and see God replace anxiety with peace in Jesus. Let's pray. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you that we're citizens of heaven as we trust in Him. Thank you for this way of thinking that changes our lives as we try and echo the way that Jesus thinks. And thank you for your promise. Help us to cast our anxieties on you, to lay them out before you, so that we can have our hearts and minds guarded in our wonderful Lord Jesus. We pray in His name.